started. Well, we're to the last of our planned classes today, and in the next three Sundays, we're going to address questions that would be from you guys. So, on the back of this board, you may have seen. The back of the board, we've got Marcella has, I think it was Marcella, I don't think that would be Eric's writing or Doug's. Definitely not Eric's, I don't know Doug's writing as well, but definitely not Eric's. Beautifully written, the list of the topics that we have covered thus far, and today's is the last, and we would invite you to add questions onto, right? I think that's what the plan was, add questions onto the blackboard. The blackboard's on the back there. So we'll be rolling that to the back out there. And if you have questions you'd like to ask, you can still send us questions as well by email. And we would, I think next week we'll already come up here, right? Or is it part two? Okay. Oh, that'd be good. All right. Let's begin with prayer and then we can get started. Gracious Lord, I thank you that we can gather in your name, Lord Jesus. I thank you that we can, with full confidence, come before you, Father, that you have seen fit to save and deliver us from darkness and rebellion to you, who are our Creator. I thank you that our faith is sustained each day by you. And I thank you that we can discuss these various topics. We thank you that we can engage with the world, knowing that in our hands we hold the very Word of God. We believe in its authority. And we thank you that we can rest upon its promises. I pray that you would help us now, help me now in this discussion on marijuana. I pray that you would give us wisdom and aid. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right. I don't know if that was a very good title. I kind of came up with it last minute. Marijuana in the Christian Life. It's been in the news fairly often in the last while, particularly in the last month or so, given some of the statements and some of the decisions that our Prime Minister has made, as well as the celebration of what they call it 420, April 20th, and the engagement of that amongst many. So we're going to, because it's a fairly hot topic in society, and we need to, as a church as well, consider this. It will become a greater and greater issue within our society. So let's get on in. I think that's a picture. I think that was from last year's 420. Picture from last year's 420 meeting gathering. As you can see, there's quite a few people that participate already. I kind of have my head in the ground often, and I don't realize what's happening. And so, this is a topic I have to admit I'm not experienced personally in. But at the same time, I praise the Lord for that. I don't make any apologies for that I've never tried marijuana. But just researching this, this topic has been of benefit and consideration for myself. So this was from last year. And so they gather in front of the legislature buildings. This is one from Winnipeg, and demonstrate. CBC News. This is a couple of years ago already. in 2015, it said that 20% of Canadians smoked pot last year, but more than 30% would if legal, and that's what with the CBC poll. And so that a bit of statistics about where we are at. That's kind of hard to see, isn't it? Where we are at as a country with regard to marijuana. And so I kind of began with the question of why. Why would somebody want to smoke marijuana? And this comes from the national research by National Institute of Drug Abuse. And so the various reasons for... it says the first column there, proportion of participants endorsing this motive. So the majority would just say it's pure fun and enjoyment, to get high, to enjoy the feeling of being high and being happy, we can encourage being happy, but is this the type of happiness that we would encourage? So 52% of the people said that would be their a motivating factor for them, and in 24 and 3/100ths, I should know, I teach math, percent had that as their primary motive. Others would be conformity, they feel the peer pressure. Experimentation, I think that would be a pretty big cause, or a big motivating cause, I suppose, of use, in particular in the beginning stages. They just want to see what it's like to have that that high, and so they would engage in that. Social engagement would be there as well. Boredom, some people just don't know. There's nothing better to do, therefore, let's light up this... marijuana stick. I'm getting losing my brain. Joint. I think I... Yeah. A little foggy today. yeah, I didn't sample. Yeah. Joint. I tree planted for enough years that I've been around it a lot. So I have never tried it myself, but I've been around... And I've been at a few Pink Floyd concerts, so it's enough to get enough of a taste of it. All right. So other things would just be availability, the relatively the relative low risk. So they hear it's not gonna kill you. Marijuana can't kill you. And the actual use of marijuana, it's true, it can't actually kill you. But there are other risks involved, and so people have different reasons for this, for engagement. It's also being marketed pretty heavily now in certain states of the U.S., but also in Canada. This is from a former teacher. She's who runs now a cannabis branding firm. There is a huge untapped market here. It's about reaching non-consumers, women, young people, business professionals, grandmothers, and soccer moms. So it's about reaching the masses for the sake of the cause, I suppose. another one. We want to show the world that normal, professional, successful people consume cannabis. So that's another one, similar kind of take on what they need to do to make it a popular item. I just wanted to define some of the terms. I needed to define the terms for myself, and so cannabis is the name of the entire plant is cannabis, and there are several varieties of that. And we don't need to go into all of them, but the designation cannabis is also used for the product made from the flowers of the cannabis plant. So it's often just swung between marijuana, cannabis, weed. So that it becomes much the same. I'm just going to move to a different document here. Weed and marijuana. Weed, I think, is the more the loose word for it. Maybe the street word. Maybe weed and marijuana are also names that refer to the dried, crushed flower tops and leaves of the cannabis plant. So they have within these leaves, there's a psychoactive effect due to something within them called THC and the CBD. So what we're smoking is not what we're smoking. What people are smoking is those flowers. Tell me if I'm wrong, and I'm kind of new at this, but if I'm wrong in the kind of the identifications here, let me know. THC, that, like I said, is the chemical responsible for most of marijuana's psychological effects. It acts much like the cannabinoid chemicals made naturally by the body. And I didn't know that. Your body and your brain makes these chemicals, but it affects, the secretion of those in the brain. So it affects the person's memory, their pleasure, their movements, thinking, concentration, coordination, and sensory and time perception. Okay, so that's what THC is, and that's really the active agent here in the effect that marijuana has. CBD, I don't know. There was so much stuff to read through. It's used in occasions to reduce anxiety and paranoia, serve as an antipsychotic, and boost energy. It's also used to treat inflammation and pain, so patients with epilepsy, bacterial infections, and intestinal issues can all benefit, apparently, from this CBD. So that's it's given more of a positive element within the plant, within the cannabis. All right. So those are some of our considerations with what we're actually working with. Now we're going to divide it between recreational use and medicinal use. And I would like to spend most of the time considering more the recreational use of marijuana, but I need to begin, though, talking a little bit about the medicinal use, because my take on the medicinal use would be a little bit different than the recreational use of marijuana. So in case we have someone sitting here that is using it for medicinal use, then you're not hearing me speaking and hearing something that maybe I'm not intending until the end to kind of address. So I'd like to just begin with this. So recreational use would be the use of this psychoactive drug, the THC, within marijuana to alter one's mental state so that it affects their and modifies your emotions, your perceptions, your feelings of what reality is. So when the substance enters the user's body, then it takes an effect that causes this high. So that's basically, I mean, it's not, I don't think that, I think most of us probably understood that already. But when we come to the medicinal use, there are people that use marijuana as a means of controlling chronic pain, nausea and vomiting due to chemotherapy, and plasticity helps with that when you're suffering from MS. So other uses, though it says what I researched briefly on medical journals, said though unproven, and I guess some doctors would have different opinions on this, also has some helpfulness with Alzheimer's disease, appetite loss, cancer, Crohn's disease, eating disorders such as anorexia and glaucoma, and also with mental health conditions like schizophrenia and post-traumatic stress disorder. We have some that are more experts in psychology than I am, then maybe you've would be able to speak about that as well. MS, muscle spasms, and something called wasting syndrome. I'm not sure. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know exactly what that is. So the question becomes, is it okay to use for such a purpose? I think we can reasonably say it's not necessarily sinful for a person to use marijuana by prescription. That's my take on things. There are already many drugs that doctors prescribe that address pain that we shouldn't use recreationally. Morphine, oxycodone, I think is that what it is? Yeah, oxycodone. Those would be examples of drugs that are prescribed. They are overseen by a medical professional, and so these ones shouldn't be taken recreationally. And I would put marijuana in the same camp as those. So, any questions about that? Any concerns? Yeah. Between the two. Yeah, and exactly. You could. And it's the levels of THC, right? Yeah. And their difference. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't have high levels of THC.
Okay. Okay. Right. Good, thank you. Yeah, so there would definitely be reason for caution. With regard to, if something like this would be prescribed. Okay. Okay. Just to let us know. Yeah. 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 No, it is not passed yet. We'll get to that in a bit. I just think it's a state like California. It becomes a slippery slope. And I think when we're talking the use for medical reasons, we've got to be very careful with it. Still, very very careful. Yeah. THC or opium, yeah. Right. So it's. Yeah, I think what you're saying, depending on the doctor, the physician, depending on where they land, they might be giving the prescription too quickly, right? Yeah. And that's a definite danger for sure. It does say in Proverbs 31:6, give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. And it's not talking weed here. However, there might be a parallel, and we would have to consider that. I don't know. Tell me if I'm... Maybe the elders will set me straight. All right. And I'm totally up for that. That's totally fine. Yeah, I think I probably should have. All right. So, purpose. How ought we, as members of the body of Christ, to the church, think about the growing acceptance of recreational cannabis use? Is there a proper and moderate use of marijuana? Christians need to think carefully about this. We do. Most of us have, maybe until this point, have not considered using. I wouldn't consider using, but maybe our friends haven't considered using, or family members, until one of the restraints just in the, potentially in the next year could be pulled away. And so it's important to frame our discussion on what how ought we as a body of Christ think about the growing acceptance of recreational cannabis use amongst, frame them within a few questions here. First off, is it legal? This is the part that that we need to consider. One of God's gifts to us is human government, even though we would often disagree. One of his gifts is government, and is the regulation of corrosive behaviors within society. And so we have to consider it. Romans 13:1-2, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. All right, so there is a place of for obedience to government, which we know, but the state does not regulate every bad behavior, and that's good. And so there are many things that are legal that are not therefore also ethical as well, though. So Christian discipleship, though, needs to include this question, is it legal, and being obedient citizens. So the current laws are, I got this from the Government of Canada website, the current laws with regard to cannabis use. Currently, possessing and selling cannabis for non-medical purposes is still illegal. It's against the law and will be for a while. Like I said, our Prime Minister has recently put forward the bill to legalize its use with restricted measures. I have the sheet of paper here that tells exactly how it's going to be restricted. But he put forward the bill. They're hoping that it'll be passed by July 1st, 2018, I believe. So that's that story. So, and until new legislation and new rules are in place, current laws remain in force and should be obeyed. So this bill has not passed yet. And so some people are out in society, they're taking liberty already, but it is against the law. Almost just posting this gives people the license, it seems like to me, but the Government of Canada's commitment to change cannabis laws, so legalize strict strictly regulate and restrict access to cannabis for non-medical purposes. That's what their commitment is. And then restrict access of cannabis to youth, and then stop criminals from profiting from illicit cannabis trade. And here are the reasons for that they give for this. There are real public health and safety risks associated with cannabis use, including how it affects the way young people develop. Their brain development, in particular, is at risk. A system of strict production, distribution, and sales of cannabis would better protect health and enhance public safety, make it less profitable for illicit drug dealers and growers, and make it less accessible to young people. So take that as you would. I would have some concerns about those statements myself. Yeah, by criminalizing it, it hasn't. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So this is Prime Minister Trudeau. Many nations have either decriminalized marijuana, allowed it to be prescribed medically, or effectively stopped enforcing laws against it. I do have a friend of kind of a friend of mine that is a paramedic in Steinbeck, and he was saying that the issue with if it's criminalized, and he goes to the high school quite often for overdoses, and he says the joints are laced with opiates, right? So he says if it's what they're trying to do is control and manage what's already existing. Yeah. So the question is, I guess, do we make regulations based on present conditions, or do we make laws to restrain further use? Yeah. Okay. Well, let's spend a bit of time asking, unless somebody else has something else to say about this. Yeah, in the back, Jake. Yeah. So, right. Yeah, I mean, some would argue that it's an entry drug, right? And I think there would be something to that. Yes. Yeah. Other variables. Yeah. Yeah, it gets complicated. Yeah. Yeah, and I have to keep on track, otherwise I'm not going to get to the biblical response here, but what was I going to say? I don't know how they're going to restrict use for children under 18. Maybe they have a really involved plan for that. And I would have some questions about how does it get implemented, like on construction sites where it's dangerous, if you're... Yeah. A little bit harder to maybe detect. Yeah, and test for. And same thing with driving, right? Like, I think now they do have a detection test, but it's extremely expensive.
Yeah, they tightened up driving laws extremely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet, but I heard just yesterday that they had developed one, but it's extremely expensive, so expect taxes to go up. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we'll get to it yet, but intoxication by marijuana use is very quick. Like, it's 1 to 4 puffs. And then now you have to define what intoxication means, but it's way quicker than alcohol. So you take one or two dregs and then you're feeling the effects. Had a question? Yeah. 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 Alcohol. Yeah. It's in my notes. We'll address that if you don't. Yeah. I'll get to what's the alcohol versus marijuana use, and then also caffeine versus marijuana use as well. I have to really hurry here. So I don't know if I necessarily need to say this. The changes in mind and mood. So it changes the mood, and it's a mind altering drug meant to take in order to feel the high. But smoking pot can also have some more negative effects. I think, as Jake in the back there mentioned here, paranoia with longer-term use, a distorted sense of time, random thinking, paranoia, anxiety, depression, and short-term forgetfulness. So there are some consequences there of that. Some of the physical effects... It affects, no matter how you get it into the system, whether it's by food form, within a brownie or a different way, or by smoking, it affects every organ of your body, including your nervous system, your immune system as well. Smoking pot can increase your heart rate by as much as 2 times for up to 3 hours. That's why some people would have a heart attack right after they've used marijuana. It can increase bleeding, lower blood pressure on some, and affect blood sugar as well. And people would have different reactions. I don't know if they'd call that reactions, but they would respond differently to it as well. It may be linked to higher odds of getting lung cancer. It does irritate your lungs, which the carcinogens in there. It does irritate your lungs, and which is why regular pot smokers are more likely to have an ongoing cough and to have lung-related health problems as well. Other physical effects of marijuana include dizziness, shallow breathing, red eyes and dilated pupils, dry mouth, increased appetite, slowed reaction time. So if you drive after using marijuana, you are putting yourself at risk as well as others. So it can be addictive. I think there's a kind of a theory out there, a belief that marijuana isn't addictive, but it can be addictive. It studies show about 10% of people who use it become dependent upon it. Like Jake was saying, it can become a gateway drug into other things as well. The amount of THC, like what we've heard already, has gone up in the recent years. Most leaves used to contain between 1% and 4% THC. Now they are close to 7%. So it's not the same marijuana that our grandfathers smoked or whatever in the 60s. So if your not saying that any of your grandfathers smoked marijuana. Yeah. even if you buy from a legal regulated dispensary, it's going to be hard to kind of regulate how much THC is maybe going into some of the marijuana, and so that is a risk. I think I said this already: liver disease as well as low blood pressure and diabetes. Also, if you're a man, heavy use could lower your testosterone levels. That's been shown as well. And sperm count, excuse me, and quality. And again, been linked to mental health problems as well, depression, anxiety, and such. So, like alcohol and caffeine, is there a scriptural warrant for proper and moderate use of marijuana? So that's now where we're going to address that question. There are a growing number of Christians that believe that it is permissible to use, that in the same way, like we just need to moderate it, like alcohol. And we've had these, over the last, when did alcohol get legalized in Canada? That's, was it early 1900s or something like that? It could be something like that. The controversy just maybe needs to be worked through, they would say, and we need to learn how to moderately use marijuana. But some would actually appeal to Scripture as well. They would say Genesis 1:29 says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." And they would actually go to that and say, "Well, see, this is a claim that we can use this in this way." Yeah, like cocaine. there's a number of responses that I would have to this. First off, it undercuts what recreational marijuana is most popularly used for smoking. It doesn't say anything about smoking here. It says about eating. For food, there are no foods, even smoked salmon, that we consume by smoking them. So this, I got that off of, I think, the Desiring, I have to say that, Desiring God website. That was all that. I got this image of smoking salmon. This wouldn't really work out. So this defense can only apply to using a marijuana that can be constituted as food and consumed in an edible form. Usually people don't add marijuana into their brownies to improve the flavor of the brownies themselves. It's usually the intent when putting it into the brownie is to have the psychoactive effect of the THC. I'm assuming, unless there's some kind of flavor associated with eating it, but I don't think so. Secondly, the Genesis mandate would kind of debunk, I think it does, this as well. God blessed them, so they should have read the verse before. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." Genesis 1:28. And then Genesis 2:15, "The Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till and keep it." Now you might ask, well, how does this prove anything? Well, I think the have dominion over it. If you are like the hierarchy of, and this would apply to alcohol abuse as well, but the higher, the order of creation, if we have something that is supplanting that has any kind of dominion over us in terms of our ability to see reality and the world as it really is, then there is a problem with that. Then something in created order is having dominion over us. Does that make sense? I don't know. Okay, so cannabis versus alcohol. So the argument might be that Christians drink beer and wine for the taste, but people only smoke pot to get stoned. Is this true? Now, I think this is too simplistic. Christians don't drink beer and wine only for the taste. Even moderate drinking, which is biblically permissible, has lubricating psychoactive effects. So even a small amount of alcohol does. But from a biblical perspective, this lubricating effect can be acceptable in some circumstances. So we have to be clear that while drunkenness is prohibited very clearly in Scripture, God has in His Word allowed the drinking of alcohol. Psalm 104, 14 to 15, God has given wine to gladden the heart of man. And so people do drink wine at weddings in which we celebrate the profound parable being played out before our eyes. The great bridegroom is coming for his bride, the church, and wine is explicitly used as an image of that when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples in consummating that. There was wine being used, and it was to symbolize the union of the bride to the bridegroom. So some Christian churches would prohibit the use of alcohol among their members because the Bible prohibits drunkenness. But this would be a mistake. The Bible warns against such extra-biblical prohibitions. And so Scripture permits the use of alcohol when it can be enjoyed in faith, even though it has some psychoactive effects. All right, I'm all good still. Yeah, I know that we have different. This is a matter of conscience when we're talking about. But I had to kind of bring in the alcohol thing too. Yeah. It's possible. Yeah. Yeah, but that is an argument that it has less alcohol in there in the wine. But yeah, but yeah. Okay, all right. There are some. I'm going to have to, because I really want to get to the biblical arguments here as well, but I don't think you can make a straight comparison between alcohol and marijuana. There are some things that can be compared where they are alike, and in some ways they are very different. I can maybe send this to you. I got this from Jeff Lacine on Desiring God, Marijuana to the Glory of God. But ways that they are alike and ways that they are not alike. But I don't think I'll have the time to kind of walk through that. One of the key things that we can make parallel to, though, is the ability to intoxicate. So marijuana and alcohol are alike in that they lead to intoxication. But marijuana is unlike alcohol in three important ways. Intoxication happens very quickly. about four puffs. Different sources said 1 to 4 puffs, and then you're intoxicated. Alcohol breaks down and leaves the body soon after consumption, but THC in marijuana can stay in the body for weeks after consumption and have ongoing effects, and effects can be measurable, and there are many effects of the use of it. Studies show that pot slows the mind, dulls the memory, damages the immune system, and diminishes motivation while increasing the risk of socially destructive behavior and severe medical problems. There's a long list of them as well. Especially when used by young people, it can affect the development of their brain. So that's the big argument, that if in Canada we would legalize marijuana at 18 and above, well, some people haven't developed fully at 18, and it'll affect their development. So that's why Trudeau kind of cut short there, and he said, well, let the provinces decide exactly what age. He was wanting to keep a promise from his election days there. Okay. With marijuana, intoxication is its only recreational purpose. The one reason marijuana is sought recreationally is the one use for which God forbids alcohol. I think that's an important statement. With marijuana, with alcohol, I should maybe begin, its purpose is not mere intoxication, like within the Christian community. Whereas with marijuana, I don't think you could say the same thing. I think the purpose of smoking marijuana would be to become high. Make sense? Okay. So, analogical reasoning. So, we can think of a simple structure. Can we equate this? A has characteristic X. If A has anything that when we're arguing something from Scripture, anything ethically, A has this characteristic, X. B shares that characteristic with A. A also has characteristic Y. Because A and B share characteristic X, we conclude what is not yet known, that B shares characteristic Y as well. That seems pretty obvious. But if A, intoxication by alcohol, alcohol ingestion has characteristic X, it produces psychoactive effect, that is, affects brain function, resulting in alterations in perception, mood, consciousness, cognition, and behavior. And then B, intoxication by marijuana ingestion, shares that characteristic because A and B share characteristic X. We conclude what is not yet known, that B shares characteristic Y, which is, it's an action that is judged to be against God's will and therefore sinful. And combining that with the fact that the purpose when people smoke marijuana is to get high for the intoxication, therefore recreational use would be sinful. Okay? Now, how about a cup of coffee? I need to really... Yeah?
Quick question. For all the people who have strategy, people who know more than me about marijuana use, is there a large difference in the intensity of a high? Can there be a very, very mild high, buzz, although that then, of course, be very out of touch with reality of a deep high?
Based on how much... Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it also, I think it also matters, like, if you take small amounts and over time continue to take small amounts, will that, like, is that a slippery slope? Like, a slippery slope, will you increase the amount that you'll need to get that high based upon the dependency that you get? And then it becomes a greater issue, right? You can't, you don't necessarily stay there, but... Based on your conscience, you can't... Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you can use it in this circumstance, but if my conscience says I can't use it in any circumstance,
yeah,
then I have to go with my conscience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sort of like you feel like you're sinning.
Yeah. And I think I was just saying, like, from, like, normal, like, seeing reality as it is to intoxication with marijuana is so close. And even if you'd argue, well, it's not for some people, like, over time and its use, will it increase, and will the effects? They're very, very profoundly different chemicals within cannabis compared to alcohol.
Are there Christians that will not take coffee in this church for the same reason?
Coffee. Also a psychoactive substance. But why do people drink coffee? To help them see things as they really are. Rather than through the fog of grogginess, the right and proper use of this God-given substance helps us see things as they really are. Most coffee drinkers, you can really abuse coffee and caffeine. Absolutely. Most coffee drinkers hope to stay awake, do their jobs more reliably, and drive more safely. It is certainly possible to abuse caffeine, but as a natural stimulant, it is most commonly used not as an escape from reality, but as an effort to interact responsibly with reality. Well, sorry, say that again. Yeah. Like, you don't want to, like, okay, why are you smoking marijuana? Is it to escape it? Or is it, like, are you going to, is it causing you to not see the world as it really is? And I must get to the Bible, to the Bible. Yes. Yeah. Should we do that then? Yeah. But alcohol is prohibited clearly in the Bible, drunkenness, right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, small. Yep. And that's why, absolutely, it would be an encouragement to stop drinking for a while, and then just to see, to test yourself. And I do, every once in a while, as my friends will know, I lay off coffee, and you're right, I do get a bit of a headache for a while. Yes, you have to be careful with caffeine. Yeah. Okay, can we, let's go with this. Your body's not your own. The question, what will marijuana do to me, has to do with our relationship with our own bodies. Of course, our bodies are not merely our bodies, though. This is, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so this would apply to the use of alcohol. This would be applied to the use of caffeine. This would be applied to eating properly. Our bodies are not merely our bodies. They were made for God's glory, and they were bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:12-20. says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God with your body." So our motivation, first off, is we want to see and use our bodies to the glory of God. These are not ours. We don't own our bodies. Therefore, do with your bodies what is healthy, because that glorifies God. Is it making God, Jesus, look like the treasure that he is the key question. Also, your mind is invaluable. God gave us minds and hearts to know him and love him and discern his will. So be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. Don't become an experienced sinner to learn the folly of sin. Be willing to be an inexperienced baby when it comes to sharing in mind-clouding drugs. Be ruthless and clear-headed. And so, in regard to drunkenness and marijuana high is a kind of drunkenness, the Bible says, in the end it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Your eyes will see strange things and your heart utter perverse things. Proverbs 23:32-33. In other words, it leads away from a kind of sober-mindedness and a self-control which is glorifying to God. We want to be clear-minded people. Think well of how we ought to live according to Scripture. Also, how will it affect my capacity to love my neighbor? As Christians, our bodies are for the Lord, but love is the second greatest commandment because our lives are also for other people. Matthew 22, verse 39. So in what way could marijuana harm or enhance our performance in our roles as sons, daughters, siblings, spouses, students, parents, employees, and employers? So does it enhance, how can marijuana enhance our responsibility to love others? And I don't think it can. Like, maybe if you're in pain, I'll get to your question. Yeah, so overall, like the recreational smoking of marijuana, will that make you a better mom? Will it make you a more responsible dad that leads in the home? Will it, like, you get what I'm getting at here, right? So that's a key question. And then finally, what's the big picture? Often specific questions such as these can be helped by keeping our eyes on the big picture. What's the end game? Paul speaks of, in Ephesians 5, of envy, drunkenness, orgies, and these things. So it doesn't mention marijuana because they didn't use that at that time. But, and these things I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And this, I think, is very compelling. What's the purpose? I love Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. His joy was to see and commune with his Father, and that is what our joy is. We hunger to be in that God-glorifying, joyful state every moment of our lives, where we are hungry for truth, where we are hungry to be used by God for his glory. And so Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, I might be able to fill in, do not get intoxicated with weed, but be filled with the Spirit, filled with joyful reality of truth. That's our purpose. That's the big picture. That's what we hunger and thirst for. And that's what the life of being a believer is about. So as Christians, our goal is knowing and experiencing the full and undistorted reality of the glory of God in our resurrected physical bodies. This is our trajectory as Christians. This is where we're heading, and we keep that in mind. Let's pray. God, I thank you that we can engage in this discussion, Lord. I thank you that we can know that our lives have purpose, that we are not just wandering about in a wilderness, Lord, that you have called us out of slavery to passions and desires of our sinful flesh, and we are no longer enslaved to such. Rather, we have been redeemed, we have been brought into the kingdom of God, and we thank you that we can celebrate the great gift of the gospel and our hope of eternal life. I pray that as we go into the worship service, Lord, I pray that you would bless our time. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any further questions, add them to the board. I'm sure there's lots of questions.